Dit gaat er zeggen, dat je bij de geslagen met Yehuda zegt, dus schulden daarvan doen alef. De Mishnah zegt, hemses u beis ha-koyses. The Braise says, if a needle was found in the thickness of beis ha-koyses, if it's only sticking out of the wall on the inside, it's kosher. But if sticking out on both sides, it's a trefa. If blood is found in it, we can know that it happened before shechita, and therefore it's a trefa. If no blood is found in it, we can know that it happened after shechita, and therefore it's kosher. If a scab formed over the wound, we can know that it happened at least 3 days before the shechita, and if the animal was purchased in these days, the purchaser would get a refund from the seller. If there was no scab, the wound would have may have happened after the purchase, and we have to say that and the purchaser can't demand a refund. In fact, all over we say that a puncture makes it a trefa even if we don't find blood. So why is this different? In other cases of punctures, there's nothing for the blood to cling to. Here, since there's a needle, the blood can cling to it, and we can therefore make a judgment based on whether or not there is blood there. Rav Safra told Abaye that a revier came from Eretz Yisrael and said that a case of a needle found in the thickness of the base of Kodesh is only sticking out of the wall on the inside was brought before Rebbe, and he passed it was a trefa. Abaye went to a revier who explained that the case was that Rebbe looked at the outside of the wall and found a drop of blood opposite where the needle was on the inside. He said it must have come from a hole through the outside wall as well, and that's why he said it's a trefa. Upon hearing these details, Abaye said it's not a chiddush, because this is what our Mishnah says as well. Mishnah said, Nofla min hagag. Ravuna said, if a person left an animal on the roof and came back and found it on the ground, we don't have to be concerned it fell off and it's injured to the point of being a trefa. Rather, we can assume that it went down on its own and it's not a trefa. Ravina had a goat that jumped from a roof through a skylight into the room below to get some food that it saw there. He asked Ravashi, do we say that the reason for Ravuna's view is that an animal that comes down from a roof can at least grab onto something, some of the walls, somewhat at least, and that's why it doesn't become a trefa. But if in the case of a jumping through a skylight, there are no walls for it to grab onto, it's the middle of a room, and therefore it becomes a trefa? Or do we say that the reason Rav Huna says it's not a trefa is because we say an animal will not jump unless it feels it can do so safely, and therefore, even in the case of a skylight, we can say it's not a trefa? Rav Ashi told him it's based on the second reason, and therefore, even in the case of the skylight, the animal is not a trefa. Rav Chaviva had a sheep that was dragging its back legs. They were paralyzed. Rav Yemer said the sheep just has a cramp, and therefore, it's not an issue of trefa. Rav Inna asked, maybe it's a spinal cord injury and was cut, let's say, and therefore, it's a trefa. They examined the animal and found to have a cut spinal cord taka. The Gemara said, even so, the halacha still follows Rav Yemer, that you don't have to be concerned for a cut in the spinal cord in this case, because cramps are something that are common, and a cut in the spinal cord is not. Ravuna said, with regard to male rams that constantly butt heads with each other, we don't have to be concerned that maybe they crushed each other and caused injury to their heads, and there are trefa. This is so even if they seem to always be in pain, because we assume that the pain is due to a fever. However, if they fell to the ground, we would have to be concerned that they have become a trefa. Rav Nashi said, regarding the rams that are stolen and thrown over the fence by the thieves, we don't have to be concerned that they become a trefa, because the thieves throw them over to land on their sides, which allow them to then get up and run away with them. However, if the thieves decide to return the animals and throw them back over the fence, we have to be concerned they become a trefa, because they don't care how they land. Now, that's only if they return them out of fear, but if they return them in order to do tshuva, we can assume that they did so carefully, because they want to do tshuva, they want to return it properly. Rav Yehuda Neymar Rav said, if someone hit an animal with a stick along the length of the animal, but the stick only made contact with the head and the tail, or if the stick made contact all along the entire spine, we do not have to be concerned that the animal becomes a trefa, because the blow is evenly distributed and not strong enough at any point in the body to make it a trefa. However, if the stick makes contact with only half of the animal's back, we do have to be concerned. Also, if the stick has protrusions, then even if it extended along the entire back, we'd have to be concerned. Also, if it hit the animal across the width of its back, we would have to be concerned. Rav Nachman said, we do not need to be concerned that the womb injures the offspring in such a way to make it a trefa. Rav told Rav Nachman, we can bring a proof from a braisa. The braisa says that even a baby which is 1 day old can become tamei as a zov if he sees two discharges. Now, the halacha is that one only becomes a zov if the discharge is not due to some illness or condition. If a baby who is just through the womb would be considered to have gone through some terrible trauma that can possibly even render him a trefa, we would definitely not make him tamei as a zov based on a discharge. It must be that the womb is not considered to put a baby through such trauma. The Gemara says, not a proof. The braisa may be referring to a baby that was born through a C-section. Maybe we can bring a proof from another Braisa. The Braisa says that a calf born on Yom Tov may be shechted on Yom Tov. It seems a supporter of Nachman that a newborn animal may be eaten. Mar says here too, the Braisa may be referring to a baby that was born through C-section. Maybe we can bring a proof from another Braisa. The Braisa says, if an animal, Bechor, is born with a mum on Yom Tov, it may be shechted on Yom Tov. Now, this can't be referring to an animal that was born with a C-section, because such an animal would not have conditions Bechor. Mar says it's also not a valid proof, because the case may be where the newborn made an effort to stand, which shows that it's not a trave. However, it may be that in any other case, we have to be concerned the animal is a trefa. Rav Nachman said, the Shoichet's throwing of the animal to the ground in preparation of Shechita does not lead to concern that the animal is made into a trefa. The Gemara says there was once an ox that made sounds like a trefa when it was thrown down. Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marsa ate from the meat of that animal. He explained that Rav said the animal digs into the ground when it's being pushed down and therefore ends up falling from a place not high off the ground. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rav, said if after falling from a height, the animal stood up, it does not need to live for 24 hours to prove that it's not a trefa, but we would still have to examine the internal organs after shechita to make sure there was no other form of trefa from the fall. If the animal walked after the fall, we would not even have to examine the internal organs. Rav Chiya bar Ashi said, in either case, we would have to examine the internal organs. Rav Yirmiyahu bar Achan, the name of Rav, said, if the animal stretched out its leg in an attempt to stand up, then even if it didn't stand up, that's enough. If it lifted its back leg to walk, then even if it didn't walk, it's considered to have walked. Rav Chisda said, if it even moved in an effort to get up, it's considered to have stood up, even if it did not. Mark continues on, Meimar, in the name of Rav Dimi of Narados, said, when we say that an animal that suffered a fall requires examination of the internal organs, that means that it requires examination of the intestines and other stomach organs. Mazritra told him that Rav Papa said all the internal organs in the body of the animal must be examined. Huna Mar, the grandson of Nechemia, asked Rav Ashi, do the simonim have to be examined as well? Rav Ashi said, the simonim are considered to be strong with regard to a fall, and they would therefore would not have to be checked. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Huda, the name of Shmuel, said, if a bird hit the surface of the water with force, if it then swam for at least a distance equal to its length, we can assume that it's not a trefa. However, that's only when it swam upstream, not when it swam downstream. If it's stationary water, swimming in either direction is sufficient. If there are pieces of wood going downstream and the bird swam downstream and moved ahead of the wood, it's sufficient. The Gemara continues. If a bird fell onto a piece of material that was stretched out tightly above the ground, we're concerned for trefa. If the material was not stretched out tightly, we're not concerned. If the material was folded, we're not concerned even if it was stretched tightly. If it flew into a net that had knots that are close together, we are concerned for trefa. If they were not close together, we're not concerned. If it fell onto bundles of flax, we're concerned. If it fell onto the side of the bundle, we're not concerned. If it fell onto a bundle of reeds, we're concerned. If it fell onto flax that was beaten and combed, we're not concerned. If it was beaten but not combed, we are concerned. If the beaten and combed flax was put into bundles and the bird fell into the bundle, we're concerned because of the knots. If it fell onto the broken stems of the flax that were beaten, we are concerned. If they were broken into very small pieces, we're not concerned. If it fell onto the fibers found under the bark of a palm tree, we are concerned. If it fell onto the fibers after they were separated into strips, we're not concerned. If it fell into ashes that were sifted, we're concerned. But if they were not sifted, we're not concerned. If it fell onto fine sand, we're not concerned. But if it fell into thick sand, we are concerned. If it fell into dust of the road, we are concerned. If it fell into a bundle of straw, we are concerned. But if the straw was not made into a bundle, we're not concerned. If it fell onto wheat or things like that, we're concerned. If it fell into barley or things like that, we are not concerned. Falling onto any type of beans except for tilson will not lead to concern. If it fell onto chimtze, which are smooth, there's no concern. If it fell onto chifze, which are not round, there is a concern. The general rule is anything that's slippery and therefore moves when pressed does not lead to concern if a bird fell on them. Anything that's not slippery would lead to concern. Mark continues, if a bird got stuck to a board with glue and began to fly away and then fell to the ground along with the board, Rav Ashi said the bird is mutter. Amemi said it's aser. Mark says, everyone agreed that if only one wing got stuck to the glue, it would be mutter because it can soften its fall enough to alleviate any concern. Machlokes is where both wings were stuck to the glue. Rav Ashi says it can still soften the blow with its wing tips, as a member says, it has no way of softening the blow and is therefore usur. Others say that all agree that if both wings were stuck to the glue, it would become usur. Machlokes is where only one wing got stuck to the glue. The machlokes being whether it can fly even somewhat with only one wing. The Gemara paskins that if it became stuck with both wings, it's usur. If it became stuck with only one wing, it is actually mutter.